Hi everyone, welcome to Potluck Food Talks. I'm here with my man Phil. We're going to La Rioja. For sure, the most important wine region in Spain.
100%.
While we go there, we're going to talk about game.
Yeah, not Squid Game.
Not video games.
Not the games. Not X Games.
No, like deer, hare.
Wild food.
Boar. Pigeons, squab, etc.
Pheasants.
Yeah.
Grouse, snipe.
Dogs.
Mallard.
So, what's the deal with game?
I mean, I absolutely love game. I mean, I grew up in a family, I think like 50% of the people in my family have a hunting license. In Germany, you need to have a license, which actually takes you about between a year and 2 years to make, depending on like how far you want to take it. That doesn't also mean that you can just go out and hunt. That means that you know about how the animals live, what sort of cycles they have, you know about what makes a healthy forest, the anatomy of the animals, et cetera, diseases. And then you can go with a local hunter and like all the territories kind of like divided up. But yeah, so I grew up with a lot of game. It's a big part of like German and Spanish cooking culture.
Yeah, Central Europe in general, I would say.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And some parts more than others, you know, for sure. What about you?
For me, it's completely different. Like, I grew up in Caracas, in a big city, and there is no hunting there at all. There is hunting in Venezuela, like in deeper regions. I remember having a deer in Venezuela. There are also like this river pig, something like that.
Okay, like a capybara kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we call it chihuire. That's also something that you will find. Also some styles of boars. But in general, I was very ignorant to the whole game thing until I came to Europe. Mm. The first restaurant I worked in Europe was Mugaritz, and they've always worked with these little birds, like different kinds of little birds. And for me, it's the best place where I've tried them. But then I also worked in Catalonia, in Racó de Campoas, where I had to pluck birds for weeks.
Yeah.
As a punishment.
It's a lot of work, yeah.
No, but that's all I would do, like all day long, just pluck birds. But I also plucked birds in Mugaritz, so I already knew how to do this. And it was the first time that I got in contact with, you know, like having this strong gamey flavor. Because I remember also having tried, let's say, boar in Venezuela, mm-hmm. for winning an international event.
Yes.
But for me, this was like some kind of like a dark pig without the gamey flavor. For me, that's like a very distinctive flavor that makes the game. And it's this, I would describe it, I don't know, like the smell of a horse hair, something like that, like a very strong aroma, a very strong quality to it, like iron and this kind of things.
Yeah.
And for me, that's what game is about, and how you build a drink around it and a sauce and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like gamey flavor. I mean, you call it gamey flavor, you know, in English. It can be very nice and very balanced and very pleasant, or it can be really, really overpowering. Depends on a lot of stuff, you know, the stage of what the animal is in, how it's shot is very important, you know. So you can't just, it's not just like you shoot it until it's dead. Like, it has to be very specific shot. For example, deer, you have to shoot traditionally through the back shoulder blade into the heart so you don't rupture any important organs that will taint the meat. I think we should like maybe go through like the different types of game and kind of talk about that, you know? I mean,
sure.
In Germany, it's definitely boar and deer, the different types of venison. Yeah, I mean, boar, you were talking about these like water pigs. What do they taste like?
I'm not super familiar with that one, with the chihuire. Like I tried it a few times and it was not like I wasn't even a cook back then. What I had back there was like a boar.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like, I really got in contact with what I understand as game when I came to Europe.
Yeah, I mean, in Germany, like boar, there's boars everywhere, right? Boars almost to a point where they're a plague, especially like in the north of Germany, in the area around Berlin, Brandenburg, there used to be a big problem, which is why hunting is also important. We need to talk about the ethical side of hunting also, right? So it's like people especially like I feel like Americans, there's kind of like a hunting, you're just shooting animals, it's like gun obsession and blah, but actually hunting done in a good way is maintaining a certain ecosystem, because obviously it's the human influence that the ecosystems aren't what they used to be anymore, but that's why it's also important to keep a sort of like equilibrium, because there's not a natural sort of like predator-prey relationship anymore. So you basically, I mean, in Germany anyway, a hunter's job is to keep the forest healthy and keep the equilibrium going. And so, boar in Germany, plenty, also really high quality, usually like stewed. But lately, there's like a couple of chefs that have tried to approach boars in a different way, because it's such a cool product, and like trying to find a different way of making it. So for example, Lode van Zuylen, of a restaurant Remy in Berlin, he was like serving this like boar steak, which was super cool, I thought, because nobody does that. Like with good pigs, when you separate, for example, if you take a thigh, that you normally have to like cut down and braise, but if you like separate all the like different muscle strands and the connective tissue, and then you can take like these individual muscles and treat them almost like a piece of meat that you can cook pink, I think that's super, super interesting.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like we were just talking about that yesterday, because this conversation started because yesterday we had like a game dish, becala. How do you say becala?
Snipe
bird that was stewed, and I had that bird before, but every time I had it, it was this more modern approach, like cooking it basically like a very rare steak, where it's just grilled on the outside or pink or even red on the inside.
Yeah.
And for me, that's the best way. For me, still is the best way. Like I really enjoy it that way. But the traditional way is stewed, you know, like in a sauce, cooked in a sauce and so on. Same thing with boars. Like I was backpacking in Italy, in the Tuscany, and there are a lot of boars around there. And I was like illegally camping around with just traveling with my tent, because I was poor. I had no money for a hotel. It was just a bum, basically.
Of course.
Jokes aside, I would send my brother my GPS location every night. So if I got eaten by boars, at least he would know where to find me, you know?
Yeah. Where to look through the boar poop, find remnants of air.
Yeah. And so I was scared about boars because I read about it. I knew
they're dangerous.
And basically what you have to do is you have to climb a tree to avoid any attack. So I would camp strategically where I would see a tree that I was able to climb. And I would think about this kind of stuff. But I didn't have contact just once with a boar, and I shit in my pants. It was like, what the fuck? It just walked across me, and I was like, ah! And so the only thing that made me feel better was just after that to go to a restaurant and have like a chingales too, just to feel the superiority of my species.
Of course, as you do.
Yeah. Exactly. I really enjoyed that. But so this again was like a boar stew.
Yeah.
And cooked in sauce. And I, again, like, okay, of course, pork is more delicate and you have to really understand what you're doing if you're going to cook it pink.
Yes, or, you need to know or the red. Product.
Yeah, exactly. But it's also doable for sure, you know, like, but you have to know what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, like, game, like meat, is one of the best sources of protein that you can have. It's mega, mega healthy. It's super good because if it's a good healthy animal with no diseases, it'll have had a really, really good life outside, eating very, very healthy things, you know, like little insects and herbs and perennials and stuff like that. Very lean most of the time, very little fat, and just packed full of nutrients and protein. It's really, really healthy. I think more people should eat game meat.
Do game animals have microchips with GPS in Germany?
No, not
because
really.
Because I know a story of here some they have, but you will also find out, let's say, that with GPS is more modern, but for example, with birds, they would put rings in the...
Rings, yeah, yeah.
They you know, that. To study the birds, you know, like, to measure how big the wings are, and if somebody catches the same bird, like, sometime later they can't do studies and this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I know this story that they found like it was like this boar that had a GPS, and they found it in the freezer of a hunter in Galicia.
Yeah.
Because it was illegally hunted, but through the GPS they they found the guy. It was already chopped and freezed.
That's crazy. That's so funny. Yeah, you have to be careful. Yeah, illegal hunting is a big thing. No? It's like, it's a big crime.
I remember, for example, in Venezuela, working in a restaurant where they would, it was like a wedding, and they would arrive with these sacks, like potato sacks, you know, potato bags full of lobsters.
Yeah.
But like, I'm talking about, I don't know, maybe 100 kilos of lobster, and this was out of season.
Yeah.
So it was illegal catching.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, we need to make money. You know, especially in Latin America, where whatever, you can bribe whoever, you can do whatever you want. You know, like, these things are a huge ecological problem, man.
Yeah. What else? Deer, obviously. I think deer is the king of the game, venison, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's... I was kind of wondering about this in other, like, places of the world. I've only really seen venison, like, very popular in Europe. It's like, there's a season. If it's hunting season, you know, you'll see venison on a lot of menus. Boar stew or venison, right? Venison loin, usually.
But yeah, yet again, venison is also something that I've seen, like, traditional German recipes where it's marinated overnight with a lot of stuff and these kind of things, yeah, and then stewed.
With, like, red wine and
exactly,
shit.
Exactly, and orange and lots of spices. And for me, again, like, what I love about a good venison is eating it like a steak or like a pink thing.
100%, that's so good. I mean, with venison also, it's really, really good. This technique that I was talking about, like, 2 years ago, I used to have venison on the menu a lot because I was working with this venison farmer, because you can farm venison also. He has, like, big areas where the deer run around wild and stuff, and until they're shot. And he would send me shoulders that I would then, like, take apart, completely marinate with a little bit of garum that we were making from all the meat offcuts, and then just grill. Grill, rest, pink. Absolutely delicious.
That's like all you need.
Some of the best meat ever.
You don't need to overcomplicate it. You know, like, just throw it to the grill.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Do you think game can be raised in a farm, or that wouldn't be game anymore?
No, I think so. Like, I mean, it's definitely game. It's like, I mean, you can't raise it in a farm that is like bad farm practice anyway, you know, where everything is sort of like, you can have areas that are fenced off where they have a natural environment where they run around and you kind of control how they reproduce. You can make sure that they have all the things that they need to eat, that they're healthy. It's also good because they're like protected from predators and from other diseases, you know, cross-contamination with, like, you know, because like game can travel like quite a long while. And I think that's totally fine. And I think that's actually really, really good. And this is a sort of farming practice that we should support more, of where animals are in an environment that is their natural environment. They're roaming free, they're in the fresh air, they're eating natural foods, they're not getting pumped up full of hormones and whatever. And then at some point, you know, they are used for their meat.
Yeah, I remember with my brother in Houston visiting a place where they had squab.
Oh yeah, I love squab.
But yeah, these squabs were like, you know, America. So these were like micro fat chickens, you know, felt completely raised to me. It didn't have, it was delicious, I have to say. Super fatty. But I was missing that gamey flavor. That what I said, that I could describe it as the smell of horse hair, something like that. It didn't have this. And I'm sure they were raised birds, you know, like, for me, like a squab, like a proper one, you have to get the bullets out of your mouth while you're eating, you know, like.
yeah, that's true. I mean, like, for me, the most beautiful game cooking that I've encountered was, for one, in England, in the UK. Absolutely amazing. If you've not been to the UK in, like, game season, you know, it's super celebrated. All the restaurants in London have game on the menu. It's not just like every now, here and there, or like fine dining. There's venison, there's mallard, which is wild duck, right? They're like ducks that are flying, you know, the flugente.
Yeah.
There's grouse.
We had those wild ducks and canfauas as well.
They're amazing.
Yeah, and it's like a completely different thing because, again, it has this gamey note that I'm saying. It can be uncomfortable for someone who doesn't understand what it is, because it's a very strong flavor and it's not what you find in a normal supermarket duck.
Yeah. Grouse, also super underrated bird. Pheasant, you know, all over the place. And all the menus say underneath, like, I mean, mostly, they say game may contain shot.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is like important. It's just a natural product. It gets shot. It comes from the fucking countryside, and it's kind of like a hunter that is skillful will shoot the game, especially the birds, because the birds need to be shot with like the small bullets.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
The grape shot.
Yeah, in Spanish it's perdigón. It's like a rain of little.
A rain of little bullets. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So they'll shoot it in a way that, you know, it doesn't damage the meat, because if you shoot it wrong, it's just going to completely blow up the bird.
Ah, right? I was not kidding or nor exaggerating when I said that finding a bullet in your mouth is an indicator of good quality of game.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to understand that while you're eating, it's like when you're eating fish, you won't just swallow without thinking. You have to understand that there can be bones, and you have to be careful.
Absolutely, yeah. It's super, super beautiful game culture. And then obviously France has an insane culture of cooking game. Like, and in a way that is almost mythical to me.
So things about that I really love, like French game cooking, especially with birds, is like taking all the offals and flambeing this, and maybe adding some orange or citrus, and having like this pâté, this paste of the all of the offals made into some kind of black pudding-ish kind of thing.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I also love using the offal to bind sauces together.
Amazing.
It's so delicious. It might sound to people that are not used to it really disgusting, but it's also not super easy to do, because if you boil it, it's going to curdle and it's going to be sort of like scrambled egg sauce. And it's really awful, also with blood, because it's basically just pure protein. If you do it right, it's this like chocolatey, creamy
sauce.
Exactly.
That's also like a dirty trick, adding just a little bit of chocolate. Just a little, that you want, it won't taste like chocolate. You can also do that, of course. But just a little bit that adds color, it binds it. It adds this cocoa notes bit on the back.
Yeah.
And that for me, that works amazingly well.
You know, the thing about game cooking is, now that we're talking about it, is it's a real appreciation for the animal. Like, I wish we would do that with more animals. Where it's kind of like you were saying, just with the offal. A lot of restaurants that I really like, for example, in the UK, when you order, let's say, a grouse or a snipe or whatever, you often get like a little piece of like toasted bread with the offals flambéed on top of it, like an offal toast.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking
about. So you have the meat and you have the offals on the side, and you appreciate the whole animal.
Yeah.
Because it's something special, and it took a lot of effort to get it, and it's very short season. You celebrate that time and that moment that you can have it, and you celebrate the life of the animal that you took so that you can eat it. And I think that's really beautiful, and I wish that we would do that with a lot more stuff, you know? Like,
yeah.
Imagine we would do that with chickens, or imagine we would do that with cows, you know? It would be amazing.
Absolutely, yeah.
And a lot less food waste.
Well, I think offals are having a comeback. Like, statistically, here in Spain, they're having a huge comeback.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, people are more open to it, both from the sustainability side, but also from the adventurous approach to eating. And you find more and more in restaurants. Of course, there are traditional things that have always been there, but like more strange things are starting to have way more acceptance.
Yeah, totally. Game bones, for me, one of my favorite bases to cook sauce out of. I used to, when I was working at Otto, we used to make jus just by like getting really good venison bones, which again is like using the whole animal, right? With a little bit of meat on them, roasting them really, really dark, then piling a pot full of them with roasted onions, and just adding enough water to cover it, and then slowly reducing it down. Not like vegetables here and wine and blah, just like pure, pure meat sauce.
Okay.
It was super, super delicious, completely concentrated.
And for me, like, as you know, I'm not the person that will have wine all over the meal and in every meal and a long wine pairing with a meal. With game, I think it's relevant to have like a proper, full-bodied, heavy, strong red, whatever it is.
Absolutely.
In that direction.
Yeah. Have you ever made lièvre à la royale?
I haven't made it. No. But I know the dish, and I've seen many versions of it, and I tried a few. But no, I haven't cooked it myself.
I think it's a super amazing dish. I really got into it when I was at Mugaritz, because when game season hit, we tried to look into it. Pascal Barbeau, in his book, in his La Trance cookbook, has like 3 pages talking about this dish. It's basically traditionally like a 3-day process of like marinating the meat, cooking it down, straining, making the sauce, shredding the meat, putting it back together, putting it back into the sauce. It's basically hair in a very rich, meaty game sauce. No? But it's so luxurious when it's done right. I think, like, you know,
Paul Bocuse.
Paul Bocuse was famous for it, for this really almost comically obscene rabbit with the head that was then sauced.
Yeah, and this famous head chef that he has, this mustache guy that is an MOF, best craftsman in France, he was like the master in Lièvre Royal.
Yeah. It's such a luxurious dish. It's amazing. Are snakes game?
Snakes? Snails?
No, snakes.
Snakes?
Like, if you're like somewhere where there's snakes and you catch a snake, would you consider that game? Where do we draw the line?
Wow, okay, it's a good question, because I feel it has to be red meat to be game, otherwise, and probably not reptiles. Because, of course, you can hunt a crocodile, and I've had that in Bolivia. We did like ceviches with crocodile meat, and which is interesting because it feels like a chicken, somewhere between a chicken and a fish.
Ceviche with crocodile meat.
Yeah.
Wow, that's intense.
Yeah, and yeah, that was like a super nice dish from Camila Seidler. But yeah, they were like different. So it was not a ceviche, more like a tiradito with different parts of the watermelon. So it was like a nose to tail cooking of the watermelon. So like using all the parts of the fruit, like the skin, different parts, and pickling it, and infusing it with herbs. And yeah, super nice.
That's really cool. One of the most outstanding game dishes that I've ever had. It's also, for me, the dish that most stands out from my time in Mugaritz was a dish that Ramon Perisset made. And it was kind of like a spontaneous dish for a returning customer. And I think that, like, especially in the time when I was there, the spontaneous dishes that they made for like regulars were the best. And it was snipe that was stewed in like a really Catalan sort of way, like a game stew, with bacalao tripes, salt cod tripe. And this mixture of fish and game flavor, together with the gelatinous quality that it gave to the meat sauce.
That's insane.
Absolutely insane. And I'm still thinking about that too.
Because that cod tripe is really like, it has such a particular texture, you know, it's kind of sticky but soft, and it's fishy but also mild, so it's like a super interesting thing.
To me, that was like, still today, like super super high.
Yeah, surf and turf with especially with birds, I think it's incredible.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about spices. I think game is also like a super nice playground for spices. I can think of Ras El Hanout. I can think of what's the thing that you put on gin?
Juniper berries.
Juniper berries or anise, cinnamon, all those kind of things. But I think, again, like you want to be subtle with spices. You want the meat to keep the protagonism. But for example, if you have, like you mentioned, having a bread with this awful paste, imagine, for example, a brioche that is spiced, you know, like,
yeah.
Having that there.
Ooh, that's nice.
Yeah, I think that, like, at least in my mental palate, that works amazingly well.
That's a really nice idea, yeah. A few years ago, I had these, like, really, really wonderful geese on the menu. And geese, it's kind of like, well, are they game? Kind of in the middle. But they are full of really beautiful offal. So I would do a piece of sourdough, toasted, like grilled, and then one side soaked in like geese jus and brown butter, just so like half of it soaks full. Then the offal grilled on the grill, put on top. And then from we had Szechuan peppercorns from that we were growing in the garden.
Amazing.
Just a little bit of like fresh green Szechuan pepper on top.
Yeah.
Amazing, absolutely amazing. Then you have a couple of herbs on top, and you have this like juicy bread that when you bite into it, the juices kind of flow out of the bread like a sponge, and this like slightly spicy, creamy offal. That was a stellar dish. It was incredible.
You know what? Well, this is something I haven't tried, but it makes perfect sense in my mind. Having a proper nice mole with game, I think that's a match made in heaven.
100%. Yeah, absolutely, easily. One thing that I also saw that was really cool is venison tataki. So I used to work with this really, really inspiring chef called Junya Yamasaki, who's now got a restaurant in LA called Yes. And he had a very unique vision, very pure, very real food. And he used to take venison loins and skewer them, and then on a grill throw a big bunch of hay so that it would like flame up, and he would hold the venison into the flame. So it was like half smoked, half seared, really, really high intensity, and then take it off and then slice it really thin as a tataki. Super delicious. And he served that with, back then, with preserved crab apples. You know crab apples? These like little apples.
These tiny wild apples.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can't eat them raw. You usually make them into like jellies or whatever.
Pickles or...
Yeah, and they have a super distinctive flavor also. Yeah. And you use that, you kind of like preserve them with like, it was like a little bit mustardy. And that together, it was absolutely incredible. But obviously it takes balls to serve venison raw. But a venison tartare, also amazing. I used to do this thing where all the rest of the like the offcuts of the venison I used to make into this chunky tartare. There's this really cool technique about making tartare that people at home can adapt if they want to. I'll tell you my secret technique. You take the meat that you have, it has to be clean of all the sinews, right? You cut it into walnut-sized chunks or something that will work well for your grinder. Then you weigh it, you calculate 2% of salt, you add it to the meat, mix it, and you put it in the freezer so it's ice cold. It takes probably like half an hour. And then you let that ice cold through a coarse mincer to mince it like one time. And the salt, obviously, it seasons the meat throughout. So it's almost like met. You know, have you had a met brötchen?
Yes.
But also it cures the meat. It changes the texture slightly. It makes it bright red. And kind of like, wow, how could I describe it?
Yeah, that's very Danish, isn't it?
In a way, yeah, maybe it is, yeah.
Yeah, like I've seen that. For me, that reminds me of the style of tartars you will find in Copenhagen.
Like at Manfred's.
Manfred's.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, it was kind of similar like that. And it's super delicious. It changes the texture. I used to serve it with like anchovy mayonnaise.
Well, my...
Which again, is surf and turf. Yeah,
And my top one tartar that I've ever had was a venison tartar in Copenhagen. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the place. There's a place, Marvin Ben. Okay. And so it was venison tartar. But the interesting thing is, you know, in a tartar you want to add condiments, right? Like acidity, pickles, stuff like this. Well, it was, first of all, venison. And then all of this world of condiments and things was New Nordic. Mm-hmm. So you would have elements of the forest, like pine pickled or pine sprouts and all these sort of things. And then on top of that, like the surf and turf component, also the egg and salty component was caviar.
Oh, nice.
Mixed into the tartare, which is something I think
surf and turf, yeah.
I think it's relatively modern to find, and I see that more and more. I mean, caviar right now is completely hyped. Just recently I saw an article in The Economist and New York Times that caviar is like on top of its moment right now. It's at a peak moment of consumption. Mm. But yeah, having caviar and tartars is something I would say relatively modern. I haven't seen that like, I would say 20 years ago. Now you see it relatively often anywhere, you know? And it had that, it had like a cured quail yolk in the middle and then croutons and stuff, and that was it. It was incredible.
That sounds delicious, yeah.
That's it for this week's episode of Potluck Food Talks. If you like what we're doing, make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok as Potluck Food Talks. The show airs every Monday.